Well, pleasant good evening. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to open with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. It'll be where we're going to start our lesson. I have several references in Jeremiah I will likely be looking at this evening. I see a lot of issues facing Christians today where a change of thinking seems to be taking place. Some who claim to be Christians have open fellowship now with denominations, and the thoughts have changed to believe that a difference in doctrine doesn't really matter. I see a loosening of morals evidenced by what Christians wear and what Christians watch and what Christians read. I see Christians who do not study their Bible. Thoughts have changed to, I don't have the time, or I don't need the answer, so that we don't have the reputation in the world that Christians had 50, 60 years ago as those who knew the Bible. I see Christians accepting instrumental music in worship assemblies. I see changes in thoughts about marriage and divorce, about raising children, about the woman's role in the home, about the watering down of the Bible. These and many more of great concern to me and to other Christians. I like to think of myself still as a relatively young man. And as I speak to those who are 20 and 30 years older than I, they see these problems more clearly than I. Many seem to take pleasure in evil in our society. The Apostle Paul told Timothy of depraved times when men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we seem to be living in a time like that. In the time of Noah, God was looking at man and described him by saying every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. I don't think that's true about everyone in our society, but we certainly see a contingent of our society leaning in that way and behaving in that way. We seem to have forgotten Proverbs 23 and verse 7 that says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. That the way I'm going to think about myself is how I'm going to behave and conduct myself. And so my thinking about myself is very important. What I understand about myself is very important. There are a lot of people who have been baptized into Christ who are like the world. They look like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, go where the world goes, does what the world does. How then can we still think of ourselves as a peculiar nation, the holy nation of God? I want you to read with me from God's Word in Jeremiah chapter 6 about what God says about this. Chapter 6 and verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. One of the things I love about reading and studying from Jeremiah is that there are so many applications to modern thinking and living. It's one of my favorite of the prophets. And many find that a bit odd, but if you study about the problems they were having and the attitudes in the people of Israel, we see a lot of those same things going on today. So he says, what we need to do is stand by the ways, verse 16. I think there's a lot of people in that place, especially amongst the younger in our society. Paths are stretching out in both directions. Multiple directions. Some of them invite and some of them repel. For some, the present time is when the choice must be made and not sooner. I believe throughout this country there are many Christians who are looking at various paths and they're standing by the ways. But if the decision had to be based on the invitation or some other aspect of the beginning of the way, most could decide very quickly. But what we have to do is take into consideration the progress of the way, and most especially the end of the way that we're examining. I believe this text in Jeremiah tells us to pause a while and stand by the ways. If we could get those who are at the point of decisions to simply pause and think of the end results, the consequences of their choices, the consequences of the things that they claim to believe, to look down the path and see where it leads before they travel it, that would surely help. And what do we do while we stand? We investigate. We see. And we ask. This implies that we have a destination in mind. You know, as we're traveling in our cars, trying to get to some specific point, we sometimes come to an intersection and we look as far down the road as we can to see if that's where I'm trying to go or not. We look down the road. Everyone ought to do the same with the road of life, that the destination should be heaven, and we should be seeing if the path before us is going to lead us there. But this passage also says we should ask. There's other travelers we're going to come in contact with. Someone from the neighborhood that might can give us good directions. Someone familiar with where the road leads because they have traveled it. We should avail ourselves with the opportunity to stand in the way and ask those more knowledgeable about the decision we're trying to make. I want to encourage even the younger ones in our congregation to cultivate a relationship with those who are older Christians. And those of us who are older Christians, we need to establish these relationships with younger people. And I'm speaking of those who are in their 20s and 30s, but I'm also speaking of the 10-year-olds and the 14-year-olds. We need to have relationships with them. They're not going to get godly examples from anyone else other than the congregation. They need to be able to come and ask, and we need to be ready to answer. Too often, I fear Christians and many who are in the world reach decisions without much thought, particularly when it comes to religion. The decision to worship someplace doesn't always get a lot of attention. Many are not looking down the road or asking questions when they decide. Is this congregation faithful in serving God? Will this congregation provide me an opportunity for growth? Can I help this congregation in some way? Those are kinds of questions every Christian should be thinking about. It's the kind of question that everyone ought to be thinking about as they're visiting someplace. The world says go to the church of your choice. The old ways, the path of God, says there's only one body, one church, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. So we have to stop and ask and determine, is this congregation following God's ways? Some decisions by parents seem to be made without stopping and asking or considering the path. The decision is made to allow a child to participate in something, no consideration of how that might impact future decisions for them, no consideration of how a pattern will have been established with that child that will be difficult for them to grow out of. Decisions about where we go do not always take into account how being seen there is going to affect others. Weaker Christians might understand our presence, and they may be discouraged or even confused when they see us someplace. Non-Christians can view our attendance as an acceptance of unscriptural behavior, unscriptural practices. Our reputation can be damaged as an individual. It impacts our family. It impacts the congregation. It impacts the church. So we need to hear the instruction of the Lord in Jeremiah to stand by the ways and see and ask. There's a very real sense in which men continue to accept new ways. There seems to be a desire in man to experience new things and to do things in new ways. And some folks want to follow that path in religion as well. And they just think about, for example, how science is eroding the faith of many today with a lie that says evolution is fact. Secularism and superstition are strongly at work in our country, seeking to destroy the old ways. The atmosphere of accepting perverted sexual behavior is succeeding at defining a new way in our society. And many are wanting to travel that road. But the truth is, there are no new ways. This is a path that existed in the time of Jeremiah. The thinking of man hasn't changed. We have again embarked on a path that leads away from God, and we have departed from the old ways. There are many reasons, I think, why men would want to look for new ways. Some consider themselves to be intelligent, and by their actions, even more so than God, they seem to know better than God which way they need to follow. That's easily seen in the many religious groups today that have traditional and modern worship assemblies. The very name is the appeal to the new way. Many groups have now begun having children's worship separate and apart from what the adults are doing, as if the old way would simply bore children. The emphasis in many religious groups is not about worshiping God in spirit and truth, but in pleasing the participants. Some change the organization of the church to something they perceive as better than what God commands. The model of a corporation is a very popular practice by many churches. Branding is also popular. You can see that in the concepts of satellite church locations or the pastor and his wife being blazoned all over billboards and stuff around town. Just the idea of using a pastor instead of an eldership is a departure from the old ways. The creation of world headquarters, a hierarchy of leadership beyond the local congregation. God didn't approve of any of those. But those are the new ways that we can see in our country. And they're prevalent. Some change the doctrine of the church to something that is, quote, more modern, which can be accepted by more people rather than believing the doctrine of Christ. Religious tolerance is a very popular notion. Did you know God doesn't have religious tolerance? You think about that. If men do not obey God, he says they're going to be condemned. That's pretty cut and dry. People have left the old path, and they're following a way devised by men. False concepts of fellowship and justification, even the definition of the church, these are all doctrines and teachings in Scripture that men have turned away from to follow their own path. Religion has moral boundaries. It puts a restraining cord around our evil propensities. This is God's plan. If doctrines are offered that would allow men freedom and liberty from morals, most people welcome that. 2 John 9 says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. I can't live outside the doctrine of Christ. I will not have eternal life. Most people want a license for sin, which is approved by the religious leaders. That's what most people are looking for in religion, whether they want to admit that or not. In modern society, that's what I see. But that's not anything new. Turn back a little bit in Jeremiah to chapter 5 and verse 30. It reads, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? In In other words, what's going to be at the end of that path? It's going to be the judgment of God. Some folks don't want any boundaries. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and in verse 12, it reads that they will say, "It is hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." And those are things that cause men to look for new ways. But these new ways aren't any better. Just back up a little bit in chapter 18 to verse 15. It says, "My people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not a highway." Bypaths is literally in this text a footpath compared to a road that is well established. They've chosen the worst course. I turn back to Jeremiah 6 for a moment, and in verse 10. Jeremiah 6 in verse 10 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them." And again in verse 17, "I have set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not listen." The ancient path here is described as the highway. It is a better way because of the destination to which it leads. Yet many choose the new way. Now, when we stand by the way and we ask, we're to ask for the ancient paths. Not all the ancient paths are good. In Jeremiah chapter 22 and in verse 21, God said, "I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your practice from your youth, that you have not obeyed my voice." Refusing to listen to God was a long time problem for the Israelites, and it always led to their downfall. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jesus said it this way, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling." Jeremiah is talking about that. We recognize the failings of the Israelites who repeatedly turned away from Jehovah to worship the idols. We easily recognize the failures of the Jews to accept Jesus as the Christ. These are ancient paths that continue to be well followed, but they're not the good path. We're to ask where the good way is, Jeremiah says. So I could read in Psalm 25 in verse 4 that says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." Or we could read again in Psalm 25 a little later in verse 8 that says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant, his testimonies." Even in the famous 23rd Psalm in verse 3, it speaks of how God guides us in the path of righteousness. That's the prayer to God, speaking of what he does for us. Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're seeking for it, which to me sounds very similar like standing in the way and seeing and asking. We're looking for this. Find the way of righteousness before we proceed. 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 2 both instruct us to follow after righteousness. And many other such passages. Jesus, famously, as we have read his sayings in John 14, 16, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." We have to be those who follow the ancient path of righteousness before God. It is true that this can be applied to our plea as a congregation. to return to the practices of the first century church that we read about in Scripture, that there is no creed other than the Bible, and that all that we do must have biblical authority by way of command, example, and necessary inferences. Without these, we're not following the ancient path. And I believe that's what we as a congregation are trying to do. We're letting the Bible point the way for us. We're retaining that standard of sound doctrine that we see in Scripture. And so for this reason, we make the plea to return to the simple worship that's found in the New Testament, meeting every Lord's Day, the Sunday, first day of the week, partaking of the Lord's Supper each Sunday, praying together, singing without the use of instruments, giving of our means on the Lord's Day. This is what we read the Christians did in the New Testament. We're pleading for this return to the church organization that's found in the New Testament, with elders and deacons in every congregation who meet the qualifications that are found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. That there is nothing beyond an elder, nothing beyond the local congregation in the leadership. Each congregation then is autonomous and answers to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. We teach and believe the way of salvation that is taught in the first century as found in the New Testament, that includes belief and repentance and confession and baptism and remaining faithful unto death. While all of this is very true, and all of this is a right application of these thoughts from Jeremiah, that can't be the extent of our application. The primary consideration of the text in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 is about personal righteousness. We need to return to the path of righteousness individually, to be certain that I remain righteous in God's sight by following the ancient path. Righteousness means to be right and to do right. So the text in Jeremiah verse 16 of chapter 6 says to see and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it. I fear many Christians have a book knowledge about God, but are often lacking in personal application. We recognize, we teach, we know what God's righteousness is, but do we have that righteousness in our heart? Are we keeping ourselves pure and righteous in His sight? Are we being holy as He is holy in the way we walk in this life? That's the truth of the lesson that we need to get from Jeremiah 6, to walk in His righteousness. This has always been true of the chosen people of God, and it still is. Look with me again in Jeremiah chapter 7, and in verse 23, Jeremiah 7 and verse 23, it reads, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Personally, they failed to walk in the way of God. As a nation also, but it's because of the choice of the individuals. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." I hear that being the same teaching as what Jeremiah is telling us, what God was telling the nation of Israel. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says we're to walk as children of light. 1 John 1 and verse 7, we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. We have to guard against walking the wrong path. Instead, we seek, we ask about the ancient way of righteousness. We ensure that we know that ancient way of righteousness. The problems that I can even see in the lives of many Christians, which I spoke about at the beginning of the lesson, are present because we're not seeking the paths as we should. We're standing in the way. We're looking at various paths. Some have long since chosen their path. It's not walking with Christ, but with the world. And in that instance, we need to wake up. We need to recognize where we've gone astray in a very similar way that Israel had. We need to return to the ancient path so that we might please God. That's exactly the message of Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. And that's true for us as individuals. Now notice again in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 that by seeking this ancient good path and walking in it, we shall find rest for our souls. Jesus quotes this passage to emphasize his own words. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's through the obedience to God, which is now through Christ Jesus. Most of us are familiar, I think, with Romans chapter 6 and beginning in verse 20. But I'm going to read that passage again as a reminder. Romans 6 and verse 20 says, "When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So righteousness before God is the only way we're going to find rest for our soul, despite what men think or say. God is the one who defines righteousness, and we must walk in it. God has told us the way of righteousness, which is now in Christ Jesus. He is the way, the true, and life. And the only way we can come to the Father is through Jesus. Eternal rest for our soul is in the salvation afforded us in Christ Jesus. So are you seeking the old paths? Not we as a congregation. Are you as an individual seeking the old paths? Have you sought to know the way of God and His righteousness as He demands of each of us? Have you worked in your life to apply the principles of righteousness in order to be pleasing unto God? Are we obedient to God, or have we in fact set about establishing our own righteousness? These are very serious thoughts. And reading in Jeremiah causes me to contemplate those thoughts in my own heart, which is why I like to read in Jeremiah. Am I like these people who kept telling God, "We will not listen"? Is that the way I'm behaving? If you're a child of God who recognizes you've strayed from the path of righteousness, you must return in order to please God. You can't neglect to examine ourselves in the way of righteousness, because Jesus says it's a narrow way. It's a constricted place. It's a difficult passage. It's required of us to be righteous. It has to be present in our heart. And if you find that you're lacking, I would certainly encourage you to repent and to seek the Lord's seek the Father's forgiveness. And then you got to do the works that would demonstrate your repentance, leaving the worldly paths and returning to God's way. If there's any who've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we certainly would encourage you to do so this evening. You can't please God on any other path. There's one way, His way. It's the ancient path. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come forward now. Let's stand and let's sing.